I'm going to take the tape. This is October the 19th, 1997.
Are you sure?
Well, I think so.
Yesterday was the 18th.
And yes, I believe you dated it correctly this morning. You did. Sunday, October the 19th, 1997.
Where does time go? I suppose there's bad news in the world. But it's very difficult to dig through all the good to find that little bit of bad. There's some sad things. And, of course, there are busy things. And yet busy minds and busy hands bring about the most happy people. And I know that each one would love personal participation to get your hands and your mouth and your mind into everything that goes on. And yet we still have to plead patience. More than pleading patience, we have to ask you to continue whatever you can do to resolve some of the circumstances, because until one or two or three of these circumstances are resolved, we cannot bring into fruition all of the wonderful things that are ready to begin to blossom now. I want to share some of those things with you. I will have to refrain from using very many names, but I think you'll understand and be able to abide with us a bit longer. Maybe, EJ, I think if you would just read this morning's, that'll give me a jumping off place. I don't want anybody to be offended, and yet I have said some things in this writing that may very well offend. It is not intended for offense. It is in preparation for getting ready to move on. We can't quibble amongst ourselves. We can't do the things that we feel to be a better way until we have a better circumstance. So you're going to have to be patient and tolerant of one another, most especially as we travel through these days, because we are so incredibly busy that there simply is no time to deal with them. We filed, you should know, because this is celebration time. Ray Bilger did such a very good job, and he and David Miller have been working back and forth, and we did our first attempt at the federal court in Fresno on Friday, and it went through like gangbusters. Eckers go up there and look pathetic, which is easy because you haven't the vaguest idea what to do, and somebody offers to help you, and then they tell you that it's going to cost you $150, so they're both trying to scrounge up enough money to pay this. And all the while that things are taking place, they're burying themselves deeper and deeper and deeper into the mire. They have to offer you a receipt for the extortion they just took. And so pretty soon, halfway through this, when Janet Reno's sister showed up from the supervisor's office, Norma had to go to the bathroom. So she just took off, you know, left EJ there to fumble with these people. Well, here are these beautiful red, white, blue flags on the front of the paper, and they know they've got trouble in River City. Now, to write this extortion receipt, he had to have a name. So the clerk had to point out the spelling of the name up here in lowercase. And so they decided they better talk with the supervisor. Now, it goes on. They are stamping them so fast they're missing copies. But they are stamping them. And then when they finally get it all sorted out and they get it all nicely stamped, they have to appoint in this room while you're there the judge or magistrate or whoever this will go to next. And so it could be easily seen that the magistrate was going to be one of our well-known people, Miss Snyder. Rick knows her well. And E.J. said, well, except we want a judge. And, oh, well, you have a judge. Oh, we do? Well, who is it? Well, of course, there is Robert Quayle all across the page. And, well, thank you. We're just so happy that we get Judge Quayle. Will it be this funny the next time? Yep. Because they can depend on being out of jail all the way through the holidays, because you can't get into a courtroom until February. So it is going to be interesting these next few weeks, because we have two more to follow right behind it. Right behind it. I should warn Ray now. Right behind it. It's over. The getcha game is over. There was a meeting this morning in Lancaster with a person who battled the system to the tune of about $4 million for himself and $12 million for the opposition. But he hanged in there long enough. Hung in there? Well, he did something in there until he took it over in proper. And he won. And immediately after this was published in the legal journals, the phone call started to tell him he would never get away with it. Well, he has. And this person knows a lot of people and got very well acquainted with the same attorney that Mr. Rockefeller uses. So he has all sorts of contacts where he can go to now to begin to lay the groundwork for getting us some more help. So let's get the reading out of the way, and then let's share some of this. It's too good to keep. And I just have to depend on you people to handle it properly.
This writing is from Sunday, October the 19th, 1997. Will God do it for you ever? We had to make an adjustment on the mic. The heading is, Will God Do It For You? Ever? You are not created to have someone else, even Creator, do anything for you. This is your experience, and the point of the journey is to see what you will do regarding your intentions, your circumstances, and with what is offered unto you, if you see it. Why ever would God take away the wondrous self-esteem of doing something valid and wonderful in your own expression? What God will do is point the way, show you the way, or go before you so that you don't fall from the pathway while accomplishing your own creations. Ask and it shall be given unto you, but you have to use whatever it is that is offered. Heading, Why can't we get along with one another? You quarrel and disagree because no two people are identical in receptions, backgrounds, or interests. It is wonderful if two can get along well enough to form a family focus, but it is rare that even that goes well. But I do have to note that it is rarely pleasing for new kids to come onto the block, only to start pronouncing your opinions and directions upon those who have done very, very well without you for years. So be careful. Be careful, each of you, that you do not poke yourself into that which is not yours to correct, even if you have it right and others have it wrong. What I find is that you most often are crossing me, if it be in my projection of work or writing. I have told all from upstart that I have no intention of doing things like any other has done them, and I refuse to allow any of my work to cause friction between parties having to set to print my information. We have played at that game for too many times to allow it to encroach upon your most precious time here and now. How is it that during this, our most incredibly burdensome time, are there quarrels over parentheses and italics? I never cared a whit whether or not any journal has had an index in the end reference. If we write, so that is totally without use, then we will change. If not, we have no intention of changing anything. I write for my people and never for journalistic or grammatical purity according to the ideas of the rewriters of language. What is wrong already is that you change your language, word meanings, and never seem to get the point of the contents. If you cannot work with that which we offer, don't work with it. There are no funds for such luxury as indexing in any event. And as we pass by dated material, it becomes less and less worthy of spending time or funds on it. Even Reader's Digest doesn't have an individual ending indexing of words or names in their periodicals. So to bring this to our attention is absurd, as we are trying to do whatever we can to bring wherewithal to get to our work. Our real work. If you assume the word in our writings to be the point here, and then let me correct your perceptions. I write for our people and their information, and for no other reason. In fact, you will note that you are only getting a few writings at all, and yet we write every day or twice if we miss a day. I am not going to go by the rule books, and I think that neither are the ones who work for almost no wages just to get a job done. We have a superb paper and the journals are well received, and I refuse to make anyone unhappy about their work or the context, contents, and structures. We are not a publishing house, and I don't want it ever referred to as such. Don't you people realize the assaults that every slip of your lips or fingers brings upon us? I am so grateful that the paper's flowing in our absence from the daily writing, for we can't physically do more. Our job is to go where the possibilities lead and get our purpose into the flow. One possibility is not enough, for that one may well not bear fruit. So we need many, many possible rewarding circumstances. This requires 24 hours a day at the task, without ability to weep over that which does not bear fruit. Is it too much to ask that the team simply make do and get along while we are attending these other matters? In addition to the ongoing tasks, we have another filing from Horton, Abbott, and Green, in a case in which Abbott has been kicked out, literally, from the case and the courtroom. So we will attend it in some other approach. Ray Bilger did a superb job on the case filed Friday. The clerks recognized the difference in paperwork, but were actually very nice, called the supervisor and decided how to handle the case. It will please you, as it did us, to find that we were appointed Judge Coyle for the job of presiding over this new approach. We plan to march right through one after another of these opportunities without the expense of having attorneys bleeding us dry. You can do likewise if you want to save your own bacon and bread. Will Judge Coyle remember the US&P case? Of course. And that is what makes us so happy. He is going to get to see a dozen, at the least, of these filings, and some are eventually going to be against him.
Let me catch them up. The one that he just read was only filed this week, and it was simply to refuse to allow us an extension. They have changed all of the rules. The judge has reversed an opinion in Texas so that Abbott and Horton can get their people in there to do a job on it, on this. Well, how interesting that Mr. Abbott couldn't stand it. He joined himself in this case without permission, and he made the final blunder we've been waiting for. You see, it's only to do with the Institute. But guess what he did for us again? Ecker Institute. gave us the specific names to be able to do this ourselves again. Go on.
He is going to get to see a dozen, at the least, of these filings, and some are eventually going to be against him, and he will probably recognize that fact instantly. Will he rule against the people? Probably. But won't that be the worst mistake he ever made? This first one, case, is directly against Horn and Brent from the very first encounter in a courtroom in December 1988.
I wondered if Eric would like to serve this paper on Jason Brent. See us after class.
The clerks were poring over the documents before the filers even got out of the lobby area. Do we enjoy such antics? No, but somebody had best give me some better insight before criticizing what we do have going. Since we have only had an additional filing from Betty's attorney, it appears she just doesn't have control of anything about her case. Keep reminding her of loss in such behavior, and perhaps her eyes will open one of these days. Our hearts go out to Ed Cleary at this time of great distress. Choices are sometimes not always the best approach, and what of Ann Beam, who promised to help attend him if he would work with Leon? Well, word has it that she moved away some 3 weeks ago. What does this do with Leon and Esther? Well, perhaps Mr. Abbott would like to explain that case and try to explain how he has used, taken, and literally spent Leon's funds. They just this week filed one more case, actually, listing Schrupfer. How long do you have to be dead before you get off the theft list? Now, what about financing and such? Well, we had a pretty good thing going on the movie, and we will get it done, but certainly things change. I felt John Denver would be the one to build our motion picture around the songs of Windsinger, but the enemies of John Denver preferred to murder him. Yes, indeed, murder. The little plane exploded before impact. That plane, by the way, has been tested for safety for years right here, for these little pushers are the product of Mojave's Rutan. Denver has been costing the big boys a lot of money and giving massive indigestion to those controllers for several years now. Windstar, you know, was taken over by the Rockefeller Foundation a few years back in hopes of containing Denver. It didn't work. So the man pays with his life while remaining people do little token programs to his contributions to quality living. The next batch of roadkill will have been established in Texas by the Baker Bunch who met last week. Will you be next? The game is getting ever so much hotter as the days pass. You see, when you come late, like Ray Bilger just did, you miss all of the accolades and all the good things that the commander said and wrote about you.
Don't anybody tell him the good things.
Ray, you'll learn to come to the back door like
me. What are the contracts? Grandma's and Russell Herman. What about it and them? What was and is available is imperfect at best, and Grandma has announced she never plans to see success in her lifetime. She better die pretty quick.
Well, this is directly from Jack. He just finally couldn't take it anymore. And he's out in California today. As a matter of fact, he's had a very difficult time, both financially in his own right, while he's been trying his best to support Granny. And he expresses it this way: I have never in my life experienced anyone who uses this kind of language and who absolutely goes berserk and calls me names while I am doing for her. And he said, Commander, I just can't do it anymore. I have to look forward to my own livelihood. And he has signed up and will be studying for paralegal services. Remember, he's a heavy truck driver, big semi-trucks, cross-country, and his health just will not stand it anymore. He's had back surgery, and still he just can't do that. So he has to take an opportunity to prepare himself to be able to look after himself And bless his soul, he still says, I will go down when I can. He lives at least 2 hours' drive away from her. And he's willing to go back into the hornet's nest, you know, from time to time. But he said he just couldn't do this anymore. And this comes on top of John and Jean Ray having just to separate entirely from this relationship. And there are some in this room who have had the same type of relationship with her. It's unfortunate in many ways. But the way this woman, being a loose cannon, is performing, anyone that you try to talk to, they want to know if this has anything at all to do with her. And they will not even talk with you if she is going to be a part of any negotiations, any input at all. And that's been clear now for weeks. So we just can't. We cannot do this. We will not do this to this, the nation that must bring itself into some kind of freedom. And she continues to get angry and continues to demand and call the debt, the notes. And it's unacceptable. Nobody has trouble speaking to Treasury Department. Actually, not even to the Federal Reserve. But the minute that that woman is brought into the picture, they will refuse to even discuss it. Now, this is sad. There are some art treasures that I'd like to tell you about. I think I've mentioned them before. But back at the end of World War II, as the Allies were tromping down the Burma Road in Burma, the Russians were blowing up the temples, so they say. Do not presume that it was just the Russians. And please hear me when I tell you what happened. The U.S. generals and Russell Herman with them would go in and take what they found the most valuable out of these temples, knowing that the Russians were coming right along behind to blow it up and loot it first and then blow it up. So there was all this talk about art and so forth. Well, I guess they have a Ming Hue robe, one of three of the most priceless religious dynasty artifacts around. Two went into a museum, so they do have control over those. The third one rests with, it was with Russell Herman's estate, but Grandma's got that. She's got some Belgian art hangings, tapestries, museum quality. I'm not proud to mention that I even think this one should go back, but I do. Everything in life has historical value, but only to the people with whom it was experienced. There is a hand-carved ivory sacrifice cup, a chalice, priceless. You could not replace it. So when we talk about priceless, of course, it has a price. It was worthy enough to be thieved. But it's a blood sacrifice cup where they sip blood from their sacrifices. I'm not proud to say that, well, hot dog, this is really a valuable artifact. And let's get it back to the people to whom it belongs. On the other hand, my friend, you're going to need some friends in China. That is a big country ready to explode. And a Ming dynasty robe and an ivory blood cup might be a very nice thing to give back to them. Now, there is a 300-carat cut diamond out of the eye of a golden Buddha. They couldn't carry the damn Buddha. It's too heavy. So they... And probably the other eye was already missing, or they would have taken both. But they took one. And this is a very large diamond. There is, in addition to that, a black diamond that hasn't been appraised just for its own value yet. So these are things that we have to give consideration to. But they are also things where large sums of money could be gotten in exchange for these items. And then maybe we could begin to rectify some of the damage done by the theft of them. But that has to unfold ever how it will. And when you're dealing with dealers, you know they're not being honest. They'll give you five different answers for something. So you know that one may be true, but probably all five are wrong. But these are the kind of decisions and choices that have to be made as we work our way through this. Nobody has a corner on anything. And there are hundreds of Peruvian certificates floating around. They must have just decided this is a good business and started issuing them right off the press. So don't think that you have to deal in some Peruvian bonus certificate. They're all over everywhere, and the one who handled the artwork and would handle it again has already offered us all we want. And then he'll trade them for us. I mean, come on. And this guy is CIA, and he's everything. And he deals in everything. He's a very nice man. I don't expect to see many of these in heaven later, but they're very nice people. Do very well on the people level.
I thought you were talking about the certificates.
Either one. Boy, we sure don't want any of those certificates passing the border. Go on and read. We'll be here all night.
Well, let's see. I better repeat a sentence so we can catch up with where we were. The heading was, what of contracts, grandmas, and Russell Herman? What about it and them? What was and is available is imperfect at best, and grandma has announced she never plans to see success in her lifetime. Well, that may or may not be, since the big bad wolves continue to utilize the documents as if she doesn't exist. Some people are even using her own issued documents for themselves, and so be it, for we will go where angels suggest we do not travel. What a lot of people do not understand is that one of our own was very close to Herman himself, and Herman's petition was to that person to see to his portion and distribution, etc. That is over 48% or thereabouts to we the people. Who are we the people? I thought you might well understand, and we the first people are in the form of Native Americans. Further, we now are in contact and meeting with the major leaders of the Native nations. When the unity comes, there will be no need for any resources other than what is built and set to function. Let me remind you of something, however, and that is that the Native Americans do not like you people of any other color or race. They harbor great indignation over the blacks who took up guns against the Indians in the name of the authority of their white owners. They have a camaraderie with Hispanics because Hispanics are Indians. So too are the ancestors from Asia. Will they stake you invaders to the anthills? Probably not, but they surely would enjoy the exercise. Now, what does this do for other nations? Nothing. So please don't think a task is finished when you offer one single faction of people a possible way out of their dilemma. So what are we going to do? Whatever we can do in a positive and goodly manner of either assistance or interchange. And what are you going to do while we are about our purpose and work? I don't know. Besides quibble and confront, we can't have a working unit in this manner of push and pull, and yet some get weary before the games even begin, just from the thinking that they can restructure and insert themselves into that which is already functioning. What will we do? Nothing. But I remind you, all of you, that it is most unpleasant to be sick, have to attend distant meetings and represent me, and come back to the piles of tattlings and prattlings of negative nature. If you would spend a tenth of the time on a response to Tootin and gang, how much the better it would be for all of us, and give relief, perhaps, where relief is so badly needed. Are you wrong in perceiving errors and commenting or confronting? I don't know, because for some reason we have managed to make it to here with very little of anything except intent and willingness to more or less, to do more or less, for every time the calendar rolls around. I do, yes, suggest that EJ perhaps is to bear some responsibility for the indexing problems, for I said to index no more books, period. We are some 60 to 70 volumes behind in publishing and no signs of change in that arena. We need to eat worse than calculate indexing costs. We are going to make it through this lean time beautifully if you will just pull as a team, be kind to one another, find good things upon which to take note, and give compliments instead of criticism. Find someone doing something right for a change, and even you will feel ever so much the better for the insight. We have again reached a sad point in our ongoing play here. Dharma doesn't want to come to a meeting here. The feelings seem too strong and so negative from some that the joy goes long before the actual task. She stayed home this morning to do this and get the meeting together when we should have been in Lancaster about our father's business matters. This is unacceptable, for when she is not present, I cannot make myself recognized or have input except through simple thought projection, which is rarely heard correctly. And yes, I do participate in meetings, and we can run a two-day meeting schedule into a couple of hours. I don't have any difficulty making myself known or others finding comfort in my presence. If you still have a problem, then I suggest you look very carefully at that fact. Are you embarrassed? Are you semi-conscious? Are you still looking for that which is not? My team has to be willing to give up all control for the better working of any circumstance, and we do so gratefully for the assistance of learned and wise businessmen. We are making efforts to bring freedom back to a nation without bloodshed or war. This seems worthy of a day's work to us. We have to let go of selves and let God. Is this not far easier than trying to run everything according to your own wishes? When you strive too hard for perfection in others, you will find that you have developed very visible and obvious imperfections in self. Be careful, for your need is not our demand or command. It is so important to sit with self and ponder upon these things which distract and annoy, for we find so much to attend that silent understanding with self. I should have said, for we find so much to attend in that silent understanding with self. Some people think with their mouths, some think silently and without any possibility of allowing another to see their shortcomings, and others write so that their own opinions are there for posterity, good or bad. I don't have anything to assist in your own decisions about which approach is best, but sometimes it is certainly wise to allow things to simply move on past, lest we be assisting at someone else's pain and offended self-esteem. Most people have so little self-esteem and prefer only insecurity to the point of destruction to themselves. These are the lessons I would have more time to teach and converse about if we can move on to those days of simple wine and roses without burden, except for that grab for a moment in time. My purpose, however, does not allow the luxury of such limited teachings. And for you, who have waited and waited, yes, Little Crow is participating in every important meeting of introduction, for it is upon his own insight and wisdom that others can base their own responses to such as me. We always have to get on past the religion versus spiritual truth, and a lot of people get their noses out of joint if we suggest that one is of man and the other of God. Little Crow, in this crossing, doesn't have time for a great warring, money-gathering, and physical druthers. He is of the great council of eagles, and he must attend the wisdom keepers, while other things can be worked out on a worldly plane of expectation and growth, sans the bloodletting and intertribal nipping at one another. Little Crow is one of the last of the great oral tradition keepers and presenters of that wondrous truth. He must continue while others do the physical changing, for they have lost the meaning of the full presentation of that oral tradition. Most have become totally addicted to the human physical experience and have forgotten what made them greater than other humankind. The elders are now getting ancient and weary and ever wary of any introduction of possible changes, which have thus far resulted in pain and more deprivation. Are the natives restless? Oh, indeed. We find that we knew of some 554 tribes, only to find that there are well over 2,500 tribes who call themselves by different names. Does this indicate unity in all things? Certainly not. And thus comes the separation and conquering capability of the enemies among them. The next thing you find is that some of the tribes, with what seems to be the most aggressive modernizing of their lands, have simply made deals with the powers that be, and this is from gaming and to banking.
I'd like to interrupt here, too. Jess was going to go with him this morning to meet over in Lancaster because this person has entree into all of the Osage land, and that means oil wells. They have been able to gain back some of their mineral rights. So guess what the white man does? We'll give you these wells, but you can't pump them. Half of them, however, and there are hundreds of them, can be worked. And then there can be some income to the Osage tribe on that land down south. And we can also utilize a Pulsell or a James type of pump. And you've got a going machine. Already, one of the gentlemen in Las Vegas has made money, lost it, made money, and the IRS took it, made more money, and finally he decided 20 cars were not of much value anymore to him, having the largest house and most magnificent edifice to himself in Las Vegas was not quite enough. So out of all the misery, he looked around and wondered if he was getting any kind of values built into his children, who are outstanding. And finding God and beginning, and I'm not talking about, I'm born again, I'm going to be a pious nothing for the rest of my days. The man has realized that as he works and gives back to God and God's people through, he feeds people. He's a little like Dennis Weaver in that he's part of a major organization that feeds the hungry. They feed thousands. And he was willing to meet after a very traumatic day. And I'm happy to see Ron here because it pleases me when I see our team members interchanging and interacting with these kinds of people that have achieved greatly in this world and have found what truth is about. But the day before the trip over there to meet, which he graciously had in his home. He wouldn't have it any other way. And he has no wife to run out there and get everything together. So his son helped him. And it was an absolutely delightful business meeting. But the day before, his daughter was walking with her friend. And these are kids. These are children, babies. And the girlfriend's boyfriend pulled up in a car and shot her to death 6 times in the face. So he was going through some real trauma with his daughter, who was also having trouble with her boyfriend. Now, doesn't that make you feel secure? So life goes on while we're trying to do all these other things. And in spite of that, he was a gracious, gracious host. And the other gentleman that was there is, probably without a doubt, as you get to know him, he will not be as infamous as some Indians. But I'm going to guarantee you, he is more respected and prominent than any you're going to hear about. And these two got on so well they will do something. This old world is going to start changing. They've got the picture. They know what they need to do, and they know how to accomplish it. It will not come overnight, but it will come with respect for Creator. It will come with integrity. And already, the host gentleman is working with a group that has managed to get some things shoved through and approved where they can open truck stops in the name of the Indian nation. It's through doing something with the gasoline and the diesel and so forth, but these will be major, major truck stops, but they've done something to get it approved that the Indians do not have to pay tax on that. Will this be easy to finally accomplish? Well, it is being accomplished. Easy is not part of the discussion here. In addition, around these same areas, they are building golf courses. Now, I don't know how many of you have been on an Indian reservation down near Gallup, New Mexico, and saw many Indians golfing. So let's put it where it's at. They are trying to bring themselves up as units with whatever break they can muster to begin to have a livelihood for themselves. And as these things come up to the surface, more and more and more, it is like Jess, who has a master's degree. Well, what are you going to be able to do with this? Here is a learned man. Has taken him 11 years to get where he's at, and he is also an attorney, which he kind of keeps quiet. He doesn't want to give anybody an advantage of knowing that he is.